The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're in Nashville, our final hour, and then SEC Nation follows up. And we begin the final hour with Brett McMurphy. What they used to
call, sound excited.
But I'm trying to remember what we used to refer to after you left the network. What were you referred to as?
Our own.
Oh, yeah, our own.
Yeah, Steve, thank you, Steve Levy.
Okay, our
the
own.
The gift that never stops
Brett
giving.
Brett McMurphy. Yeah. Brett's the only guy that left the network and still got included.
Still got credit for not leaving somehow.
All right. Still think it was a big mistake, but nobody cares about my opinion, I can assure you. But it's great to have you. Nobody knows more about everything than Brett with the Action Network. So, Brett, I realize a lot of things are happening here, but you're plugged into the whole world of intercollegiate athletics. What I hear some rumblings about the Pac-12 today. And they sound familiar.
Silent rumblings, yeah. Pac-12 will not announce their new media rights deal on Friday. Their media day is on Friday in Las Vegas. They've been seeking a new media rights deal, Paul, for the past 12 months, and we keep getting these indicators that something's coming soon, something's coming soon. The Pac-12 put out an official statement in February. The Pac-12 presidents, we expect a deal very soon. That was back in February, and here we are now going towards August without another deal in sight. People have asked why that is. It's very simple. If you don't have a deal, there's nothing you can announce. So where are they going to end up? We don't know. Will it impact the future of the conference? We'll have to find out, because there's some schools that have some decisions to make if they want to stick around or maybe head to another conference.
I mean, at some point this becomes absurd to keep. I mean, I remember 6 weeks ago it was on the cusp, and 6 months
sure.
ago. So what does the Big 12 commissioner say? When they converge, I mean, he's got to get up there and answer questions, doesn't he?
You mean Pac-12?
Whatever. Pac-12,
well, yeah.
I've already forgotten the name of it. Yeah,
George Kleofkoff. You know,
the Big 12. The other one has no problem.
Yeah, the Big 12 may have something to say. Right, but they will not be at the Pac-12 meeting.
Thank you.
That actually would be pretty comical if they were. But yeah. No, I mean, look. Last July, they announced they were seeking a new media rights deal with the departure of USC and UCLA. No one expected it to happen in a couple weeks or even a couple of months.
Right.
But you kept hearing from the league that something was coming soon, then the official statement. And also on top of that, George Kleofkoff, I think this is one of his major missteps in the past year. He has not talked to the media in the last year.
Really?
At the Pac-12 conference basketball tournament. Perfect opportunity to talk to your media. He did not talk to the media. At the spring meetings in Arizona, I was there with the other reporters. He would not talk to the reporters. The issue is because there is no grant of rights, and he didn't want to talk about that. I think when
hold on. So I know what you said, but
I'll repeat it.
I mean, Greg Sankey, by the end of this week, will probably have done 100 interviews. This guy
north of 100, yeah.
This guy has not done...
I think he's done one podcast since last July in the last 12 months. So what happens?
By the way, I don't blame him if you have nothing to say.
But what happens is everyone else controls the narrative.
Yeah.
So now the perception is you're a weak conference. Perception is reality. Obviously, that can change if you have a media rights deal, but they don't have one. We're going to be heading into August. That'll be 13 months. So this will be the first time that he has talked to the media since the last Pac-12 media day, when he famously was asked about Brett Yormark's comments about we're open for business, and Kleofkoff said, well, we haven't decided if we're going to go shopping there or not. Well, they're not going shopping anywhere, and the question now is, can the league stick together, and who might they lose, and who might they bring in?
And they're no longer at the luxury malls either. I mean,
the dollar bins, yeah.
They are. Brett, let's talk a little bit about this week. We're 2 days in. Saban and others will be here later in the week. But what has stood out for the first 2 days?
You know, I like the way that Kirby Smart talked about the three-peat. Like, he's not saying, you know, he didn't back off. He said, we're going at this head on. Obviously, he talked about complacency, comparing what other professional teams have done, trying to three-peat. And I think that's the right attitude to have. I think when Pat Riley and the Lakers, they three-peated, he was kind of the first coach that instead of saying, well, we don't want to talk about defending it, he put it on his team like, no, we are going to do this. We are going to be the aggressor. So I think that's a good strategy. Whether that pays off or not, we'll find out. It certainly helps. They're projected to be at least a double-digit favorite in every regular season game entering the season. Now, that could change. The other thing, I was kind of surprised, kind of not, with Jimbo Fisher when he was asked about Bobby Petrino. You bring in Bobby Petrino as your offensive coordinator, but yet you will not commit 100% that he's going to call the plays. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but just say it. And then saying, well, we don't want to give away any schematic advantages. We want to keep things secret. Paul, they open with New Mexico, okay? Yeah. They can name the score. They don't have to keep anything secret. So I don't know why there's this big mystery on Bobby Petrino's role with A&M. Will Jimbo Fisher allow Bobby complete control of the offense, or will it be one of those things, you have control of the offense until I want it back, and I think that will determine how successful they are this season, is if he gives Bobby the offense. Because Bobby, for all of his shortcomings, and we've discussed them time to time, he is a brilliant offensive mind. And last year, Missouri State put up more points on Arkansas than Texas A&M did. Bobby Petrino is the former head coach at Missouri State who called the plays.
I mean, I'm baffled by that because I think it was an assumption, but maybe we shouldn't assume with Jimbo Fisher. I only talked to him up here. I didn't see the rest of the conversations. I was elsewhere. I found him fairly comfortable about it, but maybe he just bowed up when the questions start. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't unless he told you something differently, but in the main press conference setting and another interview room, he was basically asked point blank, is Bobby Petrino, you know, going to have control of the offense? And he said, we're not gonna
he actually didn't he tell us? I mean, yeah,
he said something to Chris Lowe,
but yeah, because
but he kind of talked to,
but like, I thought he told us that he was going to call the plays, because it wasn't like I'm smart. Billy Lucci came up here and said, I can't believe you got Jimbo Fisher to admit that he was calling the plays. And I mean, he's not the easiest guy to follow while he talks, so he just said it and I'm like,
a mile a minute. Yeah,
it went right over my head. Maybe he inadvertently said it.
Yeah, maybe. And he did the press conference first, and maybe after doing that he realized, yeah, you know, I should be more up front. You know, that's probably the biggest thing, takeaways from the first 2 days. You know, I think LSU, I think when the preseason poll comes out Thursday, Georgia, obviously the heavy chalk to win the SEC, to win the East. I think it's going to be really close in the voting between LSU and Alabama. That really doesn't mean anything. If you're LSU or Alabama, you don't want the media to pick you, because we've been historically wrong in picking these things. But I think the gap has it's gotten tighter.
What do you expect from Nick Saban tomorrow?
It's funny, and you know this, the last thing you want to do is give Nick Saban incentive. You want to doubt their team. I think he's telling his team internally there's a lot of doubters out there. I don't think he'll project that. I think he'll project how he always does. He'll go with the hand motions. Yeah. I'm trying to get him down.
Thanks, the media.
Very thank the media. We appreciate that. You notice Kirby thanks the media,
oh, yeah,
too. Now.
Everybody thanks the media.
Well, if Nick comes actually doing
something for them.
Yeah, if Nick does it, I'm going to do it. You know, he's going to get a lot of questions about the offense. You know, new offensive coordinator Tommy Rees. Is Tyler Buckner the answer at quarterback? We'll have to find out. It's the most uncertain we've been about an Alabama team in a long, long time. And it's funny, because of that, I think a lot of folks on your network are picking Alabama to win the national championship, because they're like, anytime
that
you
makes
doubt,
perfect sense.
Every time you doubt Nick Saban, that's not a very smart
player. Yeah, I mean, he's the toughest guy of all time to really be objective about. You can't. I don't think you can back it up, but you have 15 cliches to hang your hat on if you want to go that way.
Right, and I think last year I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think last year's it's crazy. You go back X number of years, last year's the first time that he didn't win the national championship the year that after he didn't win a national championship.
Yeah, that's right.
First time he's gone consecutive years without winning the national championship, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling the story at SEC Media Days a few years ago where he was summer vacationing one year when they didn't get to the playoff, and he's taking a picture with this older couple, and they're going to take the picture of him and Miss Terry. The little old lady leans in and says, "That's all right, coach, we'll get him next year." He's like, "Get him next year, we lost one game." But that's the expectation.
Yeah, I say this with great admiration. All of Nick Saban's problems are Nick Saban's created.
Right.
Last year was a redemption tour because they lost the national championship game. This year, I don't know what it will be called. What I do know is it's always great to see you.
Thank you,
Brett. Thank you very much. Our Brett McMurphy joining us right
here. Paul, I want to compliment you on a great job you do. I don't know if others tell you that, but I really mean
thank
that
you.
Sincerely.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I just said this to our guest, and welcome back in. This is a lot of fascinating conversation, some drawn on, but this is one, and I can't put my feet up because it's a dinner hour, and I don't want to look bad, but I just told Mike Griffith, I'm ready for the show. I'm ready to be entertained.
That's not
so
fair.
Welcome in.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
I don't mind putting the pressure on one of our most discussed guests. It's great to see you. You cover Georgia, and we talked a lot about Georgia, and I'm more interested just in some overall views that you have of what has been going on. Anticipating tomorrow with Nick Saban, the conversation. There's so much happening here. And we both agree Kirby Smart won. He did a great job today. He's moved on.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the lead, is that Kirby Smart. I mean, he won the press conference, and this was very much anticipated. It's obviously been a challenging offseason in many respects. So what happens at SEC Media Days, right? What version of Kirby do you get? And I think one thing that we saw that's made him a championship coach, Paul, is his ability to compartmentalize. and I thought he was able to sell his program. I thought the energy today was as positive around Georgia football as I have felt since maybe the, I don't know, second quarter of the TCU game. Yeah. Is that when everybody quit watching? I mean, that's pretty much when I started writing
the
game story. Was in the
That's when the
pretty much
that's
over.
When Walmart started selling the two-peat.
And other shirts were being shipped overseas. But, you know, after the second quarter, things just started to kind of go down because it was over and we turned off the game. And I think they pulled Stetson Bennett with 13 and a half minutes left. But I digress. The Kirby Smart that I saw today, that I talked to one-on-one, that I witnessed interact, the players, I mean, this program feels red hot right now. I mean, and I had wondered, how is Georgia going to respond to the adversity? And Kirby talked about that. It can break you or it can bring you together. And we talk so much about, well, how do they avoid complacency and how do they stay challenged when they've won these two titles? The challenges have come basically because of the difficulty of the offseason. So I felt a lot of energy, a lot of really positive energy from Kirby Smart today. I thought there was a joyous air about him. And I was impressed, quite frankly.
And I'll say, I mean, the program needed some joy because it has been an utterly bizarre year and a tragic year and really a joyless offseason, which is understandable out of respect, but it's still not how you would have thought. When you consider the accomplishments of this program.
Yeah, you can't write the script. And the thing is it's not like the team has just said, okay, that's not a – they've said, no, look, Devin Willick and Chandler LaCroix are names you're going to hear that are going to be a part of this program forever. The players wear that. That's become a part of the Georgia identity, the do it for Dev. I mean, that's still there, and yet and still – the corner has been turned, and we're looking now towards 2023, towards the opening game. I did hear Brock Bowers say today, not a very opinionated young man, certainly talented to the extent that I think he was created in some laboratory in California. The guy is too perfect. He's too good. Everything he does so well, it's remarkable. But he admitted to some disappointment that they're not going to get to play Oklahoma. And doggone it, Paul, I had let that go. But I'm sitting back here going, what? Why couldn't they have played that game? Why can't we see Georgia play Oklahoma? That could have happened.
Why?
Television, I'm guessing politics, and Oklahoma's joining the league next year, so we can't possibly do. You know, look, it could have happened. Bottom line is now you've given Georgia, three jamboree games in the month of September, where Kirby gets to play musical quarterbacks. He made it very clear today the quarterback position is not settled yet. Sure. He's going to play multiple quarterbacks. They're going to play multiple guys. It's almost like the season doesn't really start. No disrespect to South Carolina, but disrespect to South Carolina. The season doesn't really start until they play at Auburn on September 30th. These are warm-up games. These are games, maybe it'll be close. Yeah, like, 24 points perhaps, depending on when he pulls the starters or when they start running the football to run time off the clock. The season doesn't start until September 30th. Now, conversely, I don't think they're really tested until September 30th. And Auburn is a sneaky good and sneaky enough team where Jordan-Hare Stadium will be difficult that afternoon or that evening.
It always is. Mike Griffin is joining us. Mike, another story, and I think it will be a bigger story tomorrow. I know it will. With Nick Saban is just kind of where we are right now in the SEC. And I don't want to act like this thing just snuck up, because you've been telling me this for a long time about what was happening at UGA. And I had my flag planted with Nick Saban.
Sure.
Because you have to.
Sure, of course.
For all the reasons we've said.
Yeah.
But more and more people are starting to focus in, even though it's still possible that the media will side with Saban. I was on a national show today. Guy picked Alabama to win it all. That's fine. They've done it enough times where we know they're capable. But frame tomorrow for us as Nick Saban rolls in here.
Yeah, incredibly talented program. And as you said, every time we want to count Nick Saban out, he gets it done. I noticed that Kirk Herbstreit is on the record with this. And what a huge fan. And Herbstreit, such a good analyst, a guy that I really listen to. I mean, he's one of the guys you go, listen, if Herbstreit says it, you know, 8.5 out of 10 times, he's nailing it. I mean, right on the money. So you take what he says seriously. Same time, Brian Kelly was talking about Georgia yesterday. You weren't talking about Alabama. He said, we're going to have Georgia talent. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if he would have said that in Hoover, but we're not in the state of Alabama, so no. I guess it's okay to, have some objectivity here. And he's talking about Georgia being the standard, not Alabama. And all the Alabama people, they can't wait for LSU to come. Well, just wait, because Brian Kelly and LSU, that was an early observation. Like, that is a poised program that has it all together. And they may not have the depth to get through that challenging early part of the season. But if they do and they get downhill, play those last 5 out of 6 games at home, that is a dangerous program that could win the SEC. Now, to your point about Nick Saban, the things that I look at are how these coaches act, what they do, what they don't do. Somebody told me that Nick Saban's going to, skip Radio Row. Excuse me, you're the highest paid coach in the country, and you want to skip interviews and an opportunity to sell your that bothers me, Paul, because why is he running from the media?
I didn't want to do this.
Since when does Nick Saban run from the media? I've never known him to do that.
I don't know Nick Saban's schedule tomorrow. And I say this as somebody that's been in radio a long time, but Mike, if he doesn't do Radio Row, why is that – a big deal. I mean, he's coming to SEC Media Days. He'll talk to the media.
Sure.
He'll talk to many other people. What does that matter?
Well, what's he going to do with his time instead? That's my question. I mean, you don't want to answer questions. You don't want to be you preach.
He hasn't even gotten here yet, Mike.
Accountability to your players.
I mean, here I am. I am now defending Nick Saban.
You're defending on the record. Paul is defending Nick Saban skipping out on interview. It wasn't ago.
First of all, we don't know. He may show up here and decide to talk to somebody.
Oh, wow. My goodness. We should all
Coach,
be so honored.
If you're
honored.
Watching,
can
I urge
somebody
you to
sprinkle
talk to
the flowers leading
to
up to
this guy wrong.
The pedestal? Let's
He'll
make
do
sure.
He'll 10 interviews tomorrow now just because you've said this.
I hardly think Nick Saban is the least bit concerned about what I have to say. Look, he's in it just like Kirby to win championships. I'm going to tell you why he doesn't want to talk.
Okay.
Because he doesn't want to be accountable and answer the questions for why Alabama was unable to win a national championship with Bryce Young as his starting quarterback. He had the best player in college football offensively, arguably the best player defensively, and they lose 2 games because of, I'm going to say they lost them because of coaching, and they could have lost a couple others. He doesn't want to answer those questions. I understand that. I get it. But he is a great enough coach with enough championships and enough steam behind him that when he makes mistakes and doesn't win games, he can answer for that, just like anybody else.
Well, and I thought a couple weeks ago, remember he gave that interview to Joe Klatt and talked about why he should have been in the playoffs.
Well, I guess he gave us that one. That's good. Well, I'll get the transcript and write about it and say 3 weeks
ago. And he said they should have been in the playoffs because they would have been favored.
Oh, you're talking about, you know what? I mean, he had a good point there, but we learned long ago it's not the 4 best teams anymore. Now it's gotten political. Yeah. For 1 more year at least.
Okay, so I get asked questions like this, and I'm not crazy about them.
Sure.
Because they'll ask you, what are you looking to hear tomorrow from Nick Saban? So, I mean, what would you like to hear from Nick Saban that would satisfy you or you wouldn't accuse him of – I mean, he's coming to Media Days, and you just got through accusing him of dodging the media.
Well, we're going to find out. I was told that the radio people have already been told that Nick Saban is not going to do radio, which is a part of this event.
Stop the presses. I mean, stop mankind. Nick Saban is not going to talk to Radio Row. Can you? I mean,
I'm surprised.
I don't think
that.
I can continue. I'm dying. I'm done.
I mean, this is what
I can't breathe.
What do we say? It's Media Day. It's not Coach Day. Like, this is when the media gets the one opportunity.
Is there
to talk to these coaches?
I am a student of the Constitution of the United States of America. Is there a new amendment that says Nick Saban has to come to Media Days?
I think he's just
talk
in Tennessee.
To Radio Row? Is that like
what is it? Alabama loses to Tennessee, so we won't do any interviews
in
Tennessee now?
Has that been ratified by 2/3 of the?
Is this why he's in the state of Tennessee? Still a little chapped that the Vols finally knocked him off? Is that what this is all about? I mean,
oh my goodness!
You tell me. I mean, is it a coincidence?
So he's going to take it out on the radio people because he lost a game
know.
3 hours.
I don't know. Can you come up with an explanation of why he would? That's an opportunity
that
to sell
entirely,
his program.
I mean, that is Nick Saban's public relations.
You know what? People. Maybe he's saving his energy. It's going to be a long season. You know, it's a long trip up here from Tuscaloosa.
Saving his energy.
Hard to say. We'll see what happens with Alabama tomorrow. I mean, we're all waiting. I mean, obviously, what Coach Saban says. We all, and the truth is, he's a guy, everything he says, I cling to. I mean, you talk about a philosopher and a leader and a fantastic coach, the greatest coach of my lifetime, the most accomplished coach. That's why it's so important to see him maintain that standard that he, what does he say? Everyone has their own self-standard of excellence. Right. I live by some of the things Coach Saban says. That's one of them.
Have you done radio row today?
I did. Yeah. I absolutely did. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think you were giving me a hard time when I was trying.
I did it as well.
Yeah.
And I will say this. After doing it, I wouldn't blame Nick Saban if he didn't do it.
This event, and everyone watching, bless you have the SEC Network. I used to cover this event, and like, I'm going to cover the whole thing. I'm going to throw a blanket over it. I'm going to see everything going on. This thing is so big. There are so many interviews. There's so many great opinions. I can't do it all. It blows my mind. It's like, I'm going to take my segment and go back to my room and write about it. You've got to be tuned into this network 24 hours to get everything, because there is so much stuff.
There's a drug called Bonine, and it's for vertigo. And I have vertigo after sitting with you for the last 15 minutes. I'm dizzy.
Well, you know what? We're throwing a lot of fastballs and telling a lot of truth, right? It just means more here. Someone told me not to say that, so I'm going to say it because it's true. Do we not look forward to this event? I do. All summer long, Paul?
News release out of Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban has agreed to do 3 hours of Radio Row tomorrow.
Don't think so. Hey, as long as he wins, Alabama fans won't care if he never does another radio interview in his life. As long as he can bring one more national championship home to Tuscaloosa before he leaves, and that's kind of the push over under that everyone's talking about it. Does Nick win one more?
We'll let that be the...
We'll see.
Well, that wasn't the last word.
All right.
More coverage of Nick Saban shunning Radio Row after this. Thank you, Mike.
I resume. Good stuff.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Get this Georgia propaganda fanboy off the air. He's a clown. Thomas James, Feinbaum. Mike Griffith is the idiot of the year. That's my burner account, by the way. Welcome back. We are going to get to your calls. I realize Media Days isn't conducive to a lot of calls, but we will try to work a few of you in. Let's begin in Tulsa. Doug is first up. Good afternoon.
Paul, man, I'm excited. I didn't think I was going to make it on today. Hey,
well, thank goodness.
So first of all, I was just kidding yesterday about Nick Saban being in the mafia. I'm afraid you took me serious. I don't want Saban to take me serious. I want to be able to start my car without any worries. It was a joke. It was a joke. All right. Now, the reason I've waited for 2.5 hours, Paul, and it was a joy to do that, I'm not complaining, is I need to address the moron guest that you had on the fourth hour yesterday. He said, without any evidence, that Texas was out-recruiting Oklahoma and is more prepared to go to the SEC. All right,
yeah, that was Billy Lucci, I believe.
Yeah, I've got some numbers. This won't take long, so please just be patient. Yeah,
by the way, in the interest of time, give us your best number, because I don't think we need a long
last
speech
year,
here this
OU,
late in the show.
Last year, OU finished third. Texas finished third. Not much of a gap. This year, OU is actually doing better in recruiting than Texas. We have 14 commits. They have 14 commits. We have more 4-stars than they do. So okay. We're actually out-recruiting
Doug,
them.
I think you're missing the very important point about what Texas has on its roster right now. And I realize some of them will be gone, but Arch Manning will not. They're doing quite well. I don't want to debate that, but that is a conversation from a year from now. And I do appreciate you being so patient and holding on. Nathan is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Paul?
We are doing well. Thanks for checking in.
So I'm just calling down to see how do you think Saban's going to react to this multiple quarterback system? I mean, we've seen it in the national championship and all that, but here I think it's anybody's game with Milrow, the boy from Notre Dame, and Simpson.
Well, Nathan, let me characterize what has been said a couple of times here by really smart people, and. This is a composite of what a couple of people mentioned, and they have some doubts about Milrow, just in terms of what they're hearing. And this is all speculation. Saban can address this tomorrow, and I'm sure he will. The hot name of the hour is Ty Simpson. He was not given much run early on, but a lot of people are moving in his direction. Buckner, I think, is a wild card. I think Nick Saban will be far more circumspect on the subject than I just was. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Lewis is in South Carolina. Lewis, go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Paul. I'm generally
hey,
pretty
Lewis.
Quick, but I got something to say.
Sure.
I think anybody questioning whether Saban is the best coach in college football needs to get it seen about. He's won multiple national championships at Alabama.
Seven.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He won one at LSU. And he is he's just the man. Kirby Smart.
Yeah, Lewis, I mean, I think that is well established. I don't think that's really the debate. That is not a debatable issue. And I think sometimes Alabama fans confuse commentary with an assault on Coach Saban's record, which is not. It speaks for itself, and I appreciate your call very, very much. Frank is up next. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
Paul, yesterday when you had Jimbo on there, Coach Jimbo, did you not think he come off as a little bit cocky?
Hey, by the way, that is not a news breaking news bulletin that Jimbo Fisher is cocky. That's part of what has made him a successful coach.
I've loved him for the last 10, 15 years just watching the coach, but I thought he'd come off real cocky yesterday, don't you?
I don't know. I really had a good time with Jimbo yesterday. I thought that we saw a little bit of a different side of him than we've seen in a while. I thought cocky and confidence is a debate that you can have in some academic setting, but I think he was very confident, and I think he needed to be confident after last year. We'll take a break. One more segment to go,
okay,
and we are
Paul.
Back with that. Thank you. You have a great night.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.